Hey friends, I'm Sharon McMahon, host of Here's Where It Gets Interesting. Each week, I speak with authors, experts, and thought leaders on everything from American history and democracy to how to be a better person on the internet. And don't miss my extremely popular docuseries, which educate you on things you never learned in history class. Follow and listen to Here's Where It Gets Interesting on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do it! Thank God it's... Thank God it's... Let's roll the final hour of the broadcast week. Starts now. This, ladies and gentlemen, is the Rob Brown Show here on the Fan Upstate. Rob Brown, the great one Lonzo, and you. You want to get in on the show? You got 49 minutes before we get to what the X is going on, and then you are officially locked out for the rest of the, well, until Monday. You're we'll unlock it on Monday, but like 53 minutes until you're done for this week, at least on this show. We do have Wire to Wire with Cole Bryson and Diesel coming up this afternoon from 3 to 7 p.m. But you want in on the show? This is your hour to do it. And I will say, the final hour of the show on Fridays, I like to make them about you. So if you've got a take, 844-326-3663, 844-F-A-N-F-O-N-E. That is the number to the Hub City Spartanburger text line. If you text that number, 844-326-3663, I will read that text in this hour of the show. You can call that number. If you get on the phone and call that number, 844-326-3663, you get two benefits out of that. The first benefit is that you get to have a one-on-one conversation with the great Lonzo. And I'm going to tell you, and I mean this, the two things Lonzo loves most in the world are hugs and small talk. He adores them, but he constantly talks about how much he loves when he's out in public and people come up and just give him a hug. And he constantly talks about how much he loves when people call the phone line and they're like, Zo, how's your day? How's the weather? What'd you have for dinner last night? What's your favorite color, Lonzo? Like, he loves small talk. So if you call that number,
be ready to talk chartreuse. That's all I'm saying.
Big fan. If you call that number, 844-326-3663, you get two benefits. Number one, you get to engage in a little small talk with the great Lonzo, which is just a verbal hug. And number two, we will put you on the radio program and you can share your thoughts, takes, opinions with the world this morning. So there you go, 844-326-3663. You can shoot me a tweet at the Rob Brown Show. You can shoot Lonzo a tweet at Lonzo on Word if you'd like to go on the social media angle. You can join our live stream, facebook.com/TheFanUpstate, TheFanUpstate on Twitter, and TheFanUpstate on YouTube. Find us, like us, subscribe to us, and make sure that you are following along with the show all the time. We'd love to have you join the live stream. We do have a chat attached to the live stream, which means that you can drop your thoughts there, drop your commentary there, drop your takes there. We'll read those and put those on the stream as well. And, of course, if you got something a little more long format, but you don't want to come on the air, that's okay. Rob.Brown@TheFanUpstate.com. Rob.Brown@TheFanUpstate.com.
Yeah, you knew that was going to happen. I want to say good job not breaking, but you did give me the side eye. And it was brief. It was hate-filled, but it's all your fault.
Oh, no. It was 1,000% doing my best not to laugh, because I don't know who that person was who just called. And I have to assume genuinely just asked Lonzo how his day's going.
No, they said, if, and this is a loose quote, but it might be exact. It's my understanding this is the line I call for small talk.
That's exactly what it is.
Yeah, that's what, yeah.
I need you all to know. When Lonzo answered that phone And he said, Rob Brown Show, who is this and what do you want to talk about? And then I just saw the face drop. I'm like, somebody did it. You genius. You absolute maniac. Whoever you are.
Oh, my face dropped as soon as the phone rang, even though that's what we do encourage. We do want you to call. And also, if you're watching on the stream, which you should absolutely do, you will notice me cupping my right ear, holding it as hard as I can, because I have to turn my head in the direction in which someone is speaking. Steven says it was him.
Steven, I want you to know.
Good job, Steven.
In the 5 years I've been here, 5+ years I've been here, that's a top five all-time Rob Brown Show moment for me right there. That's a top five all-time moment for me. That was enjoyable. Thank you. All right, let's get a couple of stories in here, segment per segment for the remainder of the radio program. Again, if you would like to change the conversation, you have the ability and the right to do so. 844-326-3663 to text or call the show. Hit me up on Twitter at the Rob Brown Show. Join the live chat, the live stream. Drop it in the chat. Get at it. Joel Klatt covers college football for FoxSports.com. He has put out a list of his top 10 college football players in the year 2025. Here are those 10 players. We start at number 10. This one I'm on board with. And this one I am on board with because I have been saying on this and radio shows across these great United States, I have been saying for a while, if Clemson wins the Atlantic Coast Conference, if Clemson gets into the college football playoffs, if Clemson goes to the college football playoffs finals, and if Clemson wins the 2025-26 college football national championship, Cade Klubnik in the offense will be a big part of the reason why. The meow and cow offense, as it has been monikered by the great one, will be a big part of the reason why. I do not think that it will be the reason why. I think the reason why will be Clemson's front seven. I believe Clemson's front seven may, bold, underlined, italicized, all caps, may genuinely be the best front seven in college football this year. I believe that Clemson's defense may have the best front seven in college ball. Number 10 on Joel Klatt's list of top 10 college football players entering the 2025 season is Peter Woods, defensive tackle from Clemson. He said, quote, I love the idea of Clemson running through the ACC and getting back to the mountaintop. I don't know if it will win the national championship, but I'm really toying around with the idea that Clemson could play in the title game. I think Dabo Swinney could have the last laugh around this "the game has passed him by" narrative that swirled in recent years. Part of that is because the Tigers are great on defense. Their interior defensive line is great. I'm a big believer in building your defense from front to back and inside out. That can be very old school, as some NFL people will tell you that you have to be great on the outside. That's true, but to be fundamentally good at the college level, you've got to be good right down the middle. That's why Georgia, Michigan, and Ohio State have won the last three championships. Woods is that. I think he's the best defensive tackle in the country. He's excellent, and has also played on the edge, so you know he's got that athleticism. He can be dominant up front, disrupting the timing of opposing offenses by stuffing the run and getting after the quarterback. You're going to be hearing Woods' name quite a bit, and I think you'll be hearing it early in the 2026 NFL draft. This is of a front seven that I have been saying on radio stations across the continental United States over the past couple of weeks/months as we have tick-tocked our way to the final weekend of August when college football gets going. That everybody is dialed in on Cade Klubnik and Antonio Williams and the Clemson offense. And that's fine, because I do think it is going to be an improved group. How much improved? Yet to be determined. But I think it is improved. But I think it is going to be the defense of this team that is going to be the heart and soul. I think it is going to be the defense of Clemson that is going to win them the ACC. I think it is going to be the defense of Clemson that is going to have them in the college football playoffs. And I do think it is the defense of Clemson that will give them their best opportunity to play for and potentially win a national championship this year. And I think that Peter Woods is the heart and soul of that. There's other dudes on this team that are dudes on this team on defense. But I agree with Joel Klatt's take. The fact that this cat is a double team mandate. If you do not put two on this dude, he is going to win. There is a very short list of interior offensive linemen in football that can stalemate this cat at the line of scrimmage. Short list. And to be honest with you, I don't know that there's more than one or two in the conference as a whole that can stalemate this guy. He is going to feast in the ACC this year. So because of that, I absolutely have him inside the top 10 as Joel Klatt does. He's got number 9, Caden Proctor, offensive tackle at Alabama. At number 8, we find another one of those dudes that is a dude on Clemson's defense. This time it's TJ Parker. TJ sat down and did a conversation with Colin Diesel on Wire to Wire at ACC Media Days last week. And I got to tell you, it was maybe my favorite player-led interview that was done that I heard at ACC Media Days. And there were some good ones, some interesting ones for a variety of reasons. I heard a few done by Thomas Castellanos, the new quarterback at Florida State, transferred from Boston College. Why? Because he said a couple of weeks ago, Alabama is going to regret scheduling a home game or an away game in Tallahassee, Florida. And I can't imagine that sat well with the fine folks in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. Thomas Castellanos wrote a check that he's going to have to cash in game number 1 or else he's going to look real bad before they even get going. So that one is very interesting. And some of the interviews where he got called onto the carpet to answer that were interesting because he stuck to it, stood on business. He's like, nope, I'm standing by that. I think our boys can go this year. That was interesting. And still not as interesting as the interview that Colin Diesel did with TJ Parker. Because this dude is personable, he's likable, but he's a football dude. I don't remember the context of the question asked by Cole and Diesel, but it was effectively getting into his game day routine. What do you do when you wake up? What do you do when you're eating breakfast? What do you do between them and the game? What if it's a day game? What if it's a night game? And TJ Parker said, when the alarm goes off in the AM, I'm up. There's no snooze button, I'm up. He said, I wake up, I say my morning prayers, and it's go time. He's like, I have the same mentality from the minute I get out of bed that I do the minute the ball's kicked off. Same mentality. And they're like, do you prefer morning game or night game? Like, do you prefer building up throughout the day? And he's like, no, I wish every game was at noon. Because when I wake up, I'm ready to whoop somebody's behind. And I want to get to the whooping ASAP. Dude was wildly entertaining. Like, he was like cutting promos. It was great.
Wow, why do I hear Mark Henry's music in my head?
I'm telling you, man. Somebody about to get the ass whipped. Somebody about to get their wig split when CJ Parker shows up. Klatt says that we remain in the trenches, but we're back at Clemson for number 8. I thought about putting Avion Terrell here, but Parker can really play. He italicizes that to emphasize really play. Watch out for this Clemson defense, which I believe could end up being the best in the country. Parker can be a game changer. He was a freshman All-American 2 years ago and followed that up by recording 19 and a half tackles for a loss, 11 sacks, and 6 forced fumbles last year. That's impressive. At 6'3", 265, he has got the combination of size and athleticism to be a game wrecker along the edge. I also think incoming defensive coordinator Tom Allen can help Parker in the way that he helped Abdul Carter at Penn State. Putting this cat in the same sentence as Abdul Carter, a guy that was being considered as a potential first overall draft pick last year as an edge rusher, is pretty impressive. And again, you take all the physical traits that Joel Klatt mentioned when adding TJ Parker to his top 10 players in all of college football list, and you compare it, or you add it to the mentality that TJ Parker said he has to us. And if he's telling the truth, and you add that to all those physical attributes and stats that Klatt gave, this dude might be a dude. I still think building an, like having a great offensive or defensive tackle is the most important thing a defense can do. But this guy's right next to him. There's a reason that's big. At number 7, he's got Anthony Hill Jr., the linebacker at Texas. Number 6, Jeremiah Love, the running back at Notre Dame. I actually really like this guy. If Notre Dame's going to get there, he's going to be their Ashton Janti. At number 5, Ryan Williams, the wide receiver at Alabama. At number 4, and this is, again, I don't get this. He's got Arch Manning at Texas at number 4, the 4th best football player in America. I'm not saying he's not going to be. I'm just saying putting him on this list a month away from football feels kind of weird to me. And it feels weird to me because of the sentence Klatt has in the middle of the write-up. Quote, in the 2 starts Manning has made. You're labeling the 4th best football player in America because of the, quote, 2 starts Manning made last season, end quote.
If you're Texas, you really hope all these guys are right that are giving him this much. Because if he's not.
Listen, as a dude who has been a Manning family fan for longer than anybody else, because Arch was the QB on my team when I was not yet a twinkle in my father's eye. Arch was the Saints guy. I love him. I've mentioned that there's only a handful of autographs in that room over in the Fortress and Altitude. Archie's one of them. I am pulling for Arch in a weird way. Even though I thoroughly enjoy our annual Texas is back, oh wait, no they're not, narrative, I genuinely hope Arch is that guy. I really do. Because I like him, and I'm pulling for him. He won me over at SEC Media Days when everybody said, yo, Arch, how you handling the pressure? And he goes, I don't know why you're piling it all on me. I've played 2 games. I've started 2 games. Like, he had the same narrative. I'm pulling for the guy. Seems down to all these other guys, they show up in the tailored suits and the designer shoes with the big old chain and all. And that's cool, man. If you got the bag, get it, right? Tell you right now, Rob Brown hits that first paycheck with 7 figures on it. I'm buying myself a bunch of custom suits. I wear them all the time. Art showed up in old Navy khakis, a white dress shirt that I'm relatively sure was in like a plastic box the day before, and a blue blazer. The standard freshman, I'm rushing a fraternity, not in one uniform of choice. I love this guy. I hope he works out. But to have him as the 4th best football player after 2 starts is wild. Number 3 on Joel Klatt's list is Cade Klubnik, ahead of Arch Manning, I will point out. He said Clemson has the most players on this list with 3. Klubnik is also the highest-ranked quarterback entering the year, as I believe he has a great chance to win the Heisman. Klubnik really grew in a major way last year, and he'll now be a rare third-year quarterback who has spent all 3 seasons playing in the same system. I know Clemson's got questions at running back, but it is recruited well, and I trust offensive coordinator Garrett Riley along with their wide receivers. Clemson also brings back 4 starting offensive linemen. As Clemson had some midseason bumps, I didn't buy into the idea that Klubnik was responsible for them. He played really well in Clemson's playoff loss at Texas last season, which is obviously tough to do. Klubnik finished with 36 passing touchdowns, 7 rushing touchdowns, and just 6 interceptions. He's athletic, maybe not to the extent that Manning is, but he can make plays with his legs while protecting the ball. Things are really lining up for Klubnik and Clemson to have a great year in 2025. I don't disagree with any of that. I still think it's fair to have a couple of questions. Can he take a team that maybe isn't as good as a Texas, Ohio State, whoever else? And can he, as the quarterback, elevate them past those teams that have less talented quarterbacks? That's the biggest question that we have this year. Because last year, the answer was, unfortunately, no. If that changes, this team's the national championship contender. And just to let you know, because some of you are curious, and one of you is Lonzo. Number 2, Caleb Downs, Ohio State safety. Number 1, Jeremiah Smith, Ohio State wide receiver. Clemson's got 3. The Buckeyes have the top 2. Back after this on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate.
Hey friends, I'm Sharon McMahon, host of Here's Where It Gets Interesting, where you'll learn about American history, current events, and so much more. Follow and listen to me on Here's Where It Gets Interesting on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Rob Brown Show back on your radio. It's the Fan Upstate. Rob Brown, the great Malonzo, and you. NFL preseason got kicked off last night with the Hall of Fame game. The Chargers beat the Lions. Scores irrelevant. Game isn't. Chris Collinsworth. But now feels like a good time to jump into a very quick rundown of some power rankings. Yahoo Sports put together their NFL coverage staff, their 32-team preseason NFL power rankings. Just because I'm interested in the order they put them in, let's run down them. And I want you, the Armada, you, the great one, and you, me, to stop us if and when we get to somewhere that you think a team is clearly too high or too low. I do not suspect that we will stop it out of the gun at number 32 where they have the Cleveland Browns. There is the old expression, if you have two quarterbacks, you have none. What's the expression when you have four quarterbacks? I don't know. The Browns are about to find out. At number 31, they have my New Orleans Saints. Honestly, I can't push back on this. Alvin Kamara is now officially on the wrong side of 30. Derek Carr is gone. I hope that Spencer Rattler turns into all the things that I said I thought he could turn into going into the draft. I also am very well aware there's a very good chance that Spencer Rattler starts zero games for my football team this year.
By the way, just to be positive here, at least you're not last.
Fair enough. Fair enough. You'll get Olave back. Here's the other thing. You know who wide receiver two on this team is? Brandon Cooks. That's our second best wide receiver. Brandon Cooks.
He's all right.
Yeah, he's also 70. All right, he's not 70, but he's like in football years, he's pretty close. Not ideal. And number 30, they have the Tennessee Titans. And the only thing that elevates them over New Orleans is the fact that they have Cam Ward. Now, I'll say this. They got a lot of positive coverage of Cam Ward, the preseason hero coming out of Nashville, Tennessee. I'll say this. I'm not surprised by that because they had all of the same hype coming out of preseason going into last year's football season down in Miami, Florida, down in Coral Gables. I had no doubt Cam Ward's going to look like a stud when there's no defenses trying to murder him. My only question is going to be, what's he look like when the games start? Does he have the issues? Does he not? They've been talking about how quickly he's picking up the game. We'll see. At number 29, they have the Indianapolis Colts. Anthony Richardson, Daniel Jones. What are we doing here? Danny Dimes,
supposedly, according to this one talk show that's out of Indianapolis. Looking good.
I'm sure that one talk show out of Indianapolis says that. I will say this. From what I have seen and read, apparently Anthony Richardson looks pretty good too. But again, propaganda, my man. Tough to fall for it. And number 28, the Carolina Panthers. Quote, for all the excitement about Bryce Young's improvement last year, the Panthers still had the fourth worst offense in the NFL, and that isn't nearly as big of a problem as their league worst defense. That's why, other than getting young wide receiver with their first round pick, Teteroa McMillan, they used all the rest of their draft and free agent capital to add to the defense. Unfortunately for them, it's going to take more than one offseason to fix that mess.
Yeah, I want to complain about the order so far, and until this point, I agree with it, and I think I still agree with it because I'm really worried about the defense.
I don't have an issue with not disagreeing with it. The next two teams, I would put Carolina ahead of them, and then we'll debate who else we put them in front of. The Jets at 27. A lot of young talent, good offense. We'll see what Justin Fields is going to be. Again, pulling for the guy. But you got Justin Fields. You're clearly all in on a young, needs-to-be-polished offense. And you went and you got yourself a defensive coordinator to be your head coach. Like, that felt mismatched. I understand why you did it. Brought him over from Detroit, team that's had a lot of success. I just feel like I'd put Carolina ahead of the Jets today.
I don't know. Coin toss. I think the Jets' defense is better. So,
what about the Giants at number 26? They write that they did a good job of rebuilding the roster. Russell Wilson, who did not look awful in the back half of last season. You add Malik Nabers as the wide receiver. You got Abdul Carter on the defense.
Come on, say the name. Scatabu.
Oh, yeah, and yeah, dude's a stud.
I mean, that alone will make him move up a little bit, I think.
I hope he's the same guy.
I want him to be that guy in the NFL. That would be awesome. They rarely are getting that kind of hype. Hopefully he's not like Johnny Manziel. I don't want to see him just get in there and then maybe he's the next coming of Christian McCaffrey without maybe the injuries.
if Cam Scataboo is a dude in the, or is not a dude in the NFL, it won't be because of the issues that prevented Johnny Football from being a dude. And I don't think it'll be the injuries the way that it prevented McAfee from being a dude. I think the issue will be McCaffrey, not McAfee. That's a different dude. I think the issue would be he's a bullhead runner. And it's easy to be a bullhead runner when 9 of your 12 games in the regular season at college are against a bunch of, you know, Mac players. It's a different thing when there's Abdul Carter lined up across from you. And I don't know if that power lasts as long. They got Atlanta at number 25. The big reason they have them down here, they basically say, we don't know if Michael Penix is going to be the dude. 1-2 last year, both losses were in overtime. Offense averaged 32 points, but the defense also stank. And in those 1-2 games, they were against the 30th, 31st, and 32nd ranked defenses in the NFL last year. So, and I'm fine with that. At 24, they have Miami. I don't have an issue with Miami being at 24. I got questions about Mike McDaniel. You know I love Mike McDaniel. I think he's the funniest coach in the league. The interviews are great. The press conferences are great. My man, like, holding up his play call sheet to hit a vape on the sideline because he's a millennial and can't sit it in the locker for 10 minutes is hilarious. He's a nerd. I'm a big fan. Here's the problem you bump into. Having a not football guy mentality and personality can work in football when you're winning. The second you're not winning anymore, that type of alternate football personality doesn't work anymore.
Tua stays healthy for an entire season, they might be all right.
I don't know, man.
But like, he can't seem to do that.
Keep in mind, your number one receiver, Tyreek's still there. Also keep in mind that after the Dolphins got bounced last year, Tyreek tweeted out, I'm gone. He's not gone.
He's not, though.
So, yeah. And Tua, a couple of days at the beginning of camp, a couple of days ago, was asked about that, and he's like, yo, Tyreek's got to earn our trust back. He's got to earn his way back in the locker room. He said he was out. We said, okay, you're out. Now he wants, but he's got to earn that. And Tyreek hadn't exactly had like a wonderful offseason. Jaden Waddle, I think he can be good. He's had injury issues. Devin Achane's like the only guy on that offense I trust right now, including Tua Tagovailoa for the injuries. Number 23, they have the Raiders. I actually like the pick here too. I'm good with this. Now, a lot of that is going to be, is Ashton Jante going to be able to be the same dude, A, and B, what's Brock Bowers' role? Because they got to up it this year. As good as he was and as involved as he was last year, if you've got Geno Smith at QB,
see,
where he is
thing.
In his career, Brock's got to be a dude.
I don't know about Geno. I mean, he's average at best, I think, but I guess that makes where they are on the list make sense.
I don't have an issue with that take either. Yeah. I'm in the exact same boat. At number 22, they have the New England Patriots. They say they look ready for a big There's one reason I'm good with New England at 22, and that's Mike Vrabel. Did you see what Vrabel did at Patriots practice earlier this week? Vrabel's running around, head coach, whistle in the mouth, whatever. He came out to practice, and in order to, like, emphasize to the boys why they should fall in line, he came out to practice wearing his old practice jersey. He came out and was like, dude, I was here. I was not just one of you as a former player, but I did. This place is special. It matters to me. And while I would think for a lot of guys, that's almost kind of like corny, cheesy, kind of like Mike McDaniel, like that mentality. So the whole Jim Harbaugh shtick only works because Jim Harbaugh wins all the time, right? Mike McDaniel went from, in his first year when Miami was putting up 1,000 points a game, kind of this funny, lovable nerd. Now they haven't won in 2 years, and all of a sudden people are like, what a loser, what a weirdo. The Vrabel thing works because you can just go pop in a YouTube video from 10 years ago and watch Mike Vrabel beating ass, and he comes out in his own jersey. I love that. And number 21, they have the Seattle Seahawks. I drop them. Tell you why. I'm interested in Sam Darnold. On one hand, looked really good in Minnesota. On one hand, a lot of people think he got
fixed. Is he better than Geno? We're going to find out.
We are going to find out. Here's what I'm concerned about. This is not new. What I'm concerned about is that the reason Sam looked good in Minnesota ain't because Sam's good. It's because Minnesota's good. And we're going to find out real quick if that's the case or not. If it's no, Sam Darnold genuinely found his stroke. Seattle could jump, honestly, halfway up this list. But if not, and it goes back to looking like he did in the two stops before that, which were, to Sam's credit, both dumpster franchises at the time. I don't know. We'll see. I have zero idea what that guy's going to look like. When we come back, we'll run through the top 10 and tell you where the rest of the teams in the NFL are. Who's too high? Who's too low? According to Yahoo. It's Yahoo, but I was trying for a rhyme there. The Rob Brown Show's on your radio. It's the Fan Upstate.
Hey friends, I'm Sharon McMahon, host of Here's Where It Gets Interesting. Each week, I speak with authors, experts, and thought leaders on everything from American history and democracy to how to be a better person on the internet. And don't miss my extremely popular docuseries, which educate you on things you never learned in history class. Follow and listen to Here's Where It Gets Interesting on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Running through as the NFL's preseason is underway, people. We are running through Fox Sports' top 25 or top 32 preseason NFL power rankings, their projection of what these teams are going to be as we get the games where the scores don't matter, but the games do down. We ended with the Seattle Seahawks at number 21. Let's get inside the top 20. They've got Jacksonville at number 20. Described them as one of the most disappointing teams in the NFL last season, and they were. Here's what I will tell you. Number one, I honestly think Jacksonville was one of the best places that Travis Hunter could have ended up. I think there is an opportunity, and I do think he went to Jacksonville for a reason, which is I think the staff there said, as we have, this is TL16's year to prove he's an NFL guy or not. Like, this is his year to do that. And if you're going to put that on him, and I believe Jacksonville is going to put him in that spot this year, then you give him as many weapons as you can give him. They got a stacked wide receiver room with Travis Hunter in it. They got a good tight end. Running game, we'll find out what it's like. Offensive line, better. Not great, but better. Here's the thing. They also went and they got Liam Cohen, who worked with Baker Mayfield. When Canales left, we all said, uh-oh, is Baker going to be able to be Baker without Dave Canales? Turns out the answer was yes, and that is largely because of Liam Cohen. Todd Bowles is the HC in Tampa Bay, a defensive guy. Liam Cohen ran the offensive show. I've already told you, my projection, this is a better year for Trevor Lawrence than the last couple of years have been because he's got stability, an offensive head coach who understands, and the most weaponry that he has had to work with since he showed up.
You know what he also has, though? Something that he hasn't had since Urban Meyer was there. A bunch of eyes on him because of Travis Hunter.
I don't
disagree. So there's going to be more. He's been able to. It hasn't worked out, but he's been able to be, you know, just be down there in Jacksonville and not people constantly watching that team. Now he's going to have a lot of media attention.
I fully and entirely agree with you.
And by the way, I think that will help him because I think that he got used to that at Clemson, and I think that will be more of a help than it will be a deterrent.
We'll find out. I think they got the best available option as a coach outside of Ben Johnson, but he was never going to Jacksonville. I think they got the best available coach to partner with him. They went and got him a weapon in Travis Hunter. They went and got themselves a weapon in Travis Hunter. You pair him with Brian Marshall Jr., who I've said a lot of times after the draft last year, if Malik Nabers wasn't in the same wide receiver room as BMJ was, that would have been the dude we were all talking about going into the draft last year. He just got overshadowed by one of the best wide receivers to come out of college football in the last couple of years. They've got Dallas at number 19 on the power rankings. They say it's easy to blame the injury of Dak Prescott last year, but they also point out they were 3-5 and the defense was hideous. I've already asked the question, and I'm going to stand on it until I get an answer to the alternative. I do have to wonder how much, if any, or if a lot, the impact of the drama around Micah Parsons impacts the mentality of the team, because I have also pointed out I have been in jobs where fear of management, owner, whatever, has put me in the mindset of the best thing I can do is the bare minimum I'm obligated to. If I try to go above and beyond and I get it wrong, I'm going to get chewed out, get a demotion, whatever. So I'm going to do the absolute bare minimum. I wonder how many people in that locker room, and I'd be confident saying the answer ain't zero, how many people in that room are like, hey, I'm just going to do my contract here and move on because they clearly aren't going to pay me if I'm a star.
Don't you think they're a little high?
At 19? No, I don't, because I do think I think all the talent's in the locker room.
What did you say their record was last year?
I don't remember the final record, but they were 3-5 to start the year, and then they stank after. But again, because Dak Prescott got busted up last year. You added George Pickens, opposite side. Let me put it this way. If this team was fully bought in, and if Brian Schottenheimer is really a good coach, and not just the guy who, in the head coaching circle, was the best at putting his lips on Jerry's ass, I think this team has got the talent on paper to be an NFC contender, legitimately. I just don't know what their head coach is, because he was not mentioned in anybody's job hunt, but he was Jerry's guy. I think it's a yes man hire. Maybe I'm wrong. We'll see. Just ahead of Dallas, they have the San Francisco 49ers. I've seen a lot of people who think this is too low. I don't. I think, and I do not think that, I've been told this is a hot take. I do not believe this to be a hot take. I think San Francisco is going to find out real quick just how valuable Deebo Sanders was. Yeah, Deebo Samuel will set
off. I was going to say, Deebo being gone, I think, is going to hurt them a great deal.
I have said that to a couple of people. Ryan Horvath and I had this out on BetMGM tonight a couple of weeks ago. He's got San Francisco winning the NFC. I'm like, dude, you're nuts. I think you're going to find out very quickly how important having him, because he's not just a, obviously, super talented wide receiver / wing back / running back, and occasional, if you need him, quarterback. He's also a master at what I call the Reggie Bush position, which is, even when he doesn't have the ball, you still better put guys at him. Because if I run him out of the play as a distraction, and I see you're not sending somebody on him, I'm running that same play again, but I'm actually going to throw him the ball, even if it's no way, shape, or form designed to get him the ball. Because if you fall asleep on Deebo, he's going to scorch you. And a lot of people go, oh, he showed up fat to the Commanders camp, Rob. He was in the offseason. He's in the offseason. When I was off for 2 weeks getting married, I put on like 15 pounds immediately too. I'm going to go ahead and tell you, when Deebo Samuel gets to week one, he's going to be in shape. I think they're going to find out very quickly. There is only one question. Christian McCaffrey has had two fully healthy years in the last seven. Can he have number 3 and 8? If the answer to that is no, San Francisco's irrelevant. I really believe that. Chicago at number 17. I'd have Chicago lower, even though I believe in Chicago. I'd have them lower. I think talent on offense, they've got as much as they want of it. Defense, I got questions about. But is Ben Johnson the guy or not? Is Caleb Williams the guy or not? I would actually have Chicago lower than this. Denver at 16, fine with that ranking. Sean Payton got the most out of Bo Nix. I owed him an apology letter and an edible arrangement last year because of how good Bo Nix was. Defense, top 10 defense last year. We're all dotted on Payton and Bo Nix. They had a top 5 defense and they got better. I think they're fine. I might even move them up. They've got Minnesota at 15. There is one reason and one reason alone Minnesota's at 15. Because not a lot of people believe in J.J. McCarthy. That's it. But I will say this. I do believe that if the Minnesota Vikings were capable of earning Kirk Cousins a $100 million contract, and then Sam Darnold a $100 million quarterback, clearly Kevin O'Connell knows how to work an offense around a quarterback. I think they'll be okay. And also, I'm pretty sure if you gave me Justin Jefferson, I could throw for 200 yards in a game. The old bleep it, Jefferson's down there somewhere routine. Number 14, they got Arizona. I think this is, we're going to agree this one's too high, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Out of two. They got better on the line. They added some defensive backs. I don't know, man. They actually, surprisingly, were ranked 11th offensively overall last year, but they were also consistent. And I'm going to say this. I'm not saying I'm out. I'm not saying it's over. I'm not saying he's cooked. Marvin Harrison Jr. has looked terrible.
All right,
in camp
just so stop. Far. Just stop it. For some reason, you've had it out for Marvin Harrison Jr. It could be the quarterback. I mean, I'm just saying, could be the quarterback.
I'm not saying it couldn't be. I'm not giving the reason why he has. I'm just saying he has not looked good so far.
Yes, through bias, I am protecting one of my own. Whatever.
No, he'll admit that.
Yeah.
Number 13, let's run through the rest of these very quickly. Number 13, they have the Houston Texans.
We have time, by the way.
We got like 2 minutes.
No, we have time. We can go a little bit later.
All right. Houston Texans at number 13. I'm going to be honest with you. Everybody wrote it up last year as like, oh, CJ had a sophomore slump. He got sacked 52 times last year. And do you know what they did to try to fix it? They did go get a bunch of offensive linemen. Cam Robinson, Trent Brown, Lakin Tomlinson. They drafted Arionte Ursay. Like, they added an offensive line. Here's the problem. It's an all-new, brand-new offensive line. And the question is, gelling, do they gel and are they good?
Gelling's important.
100%. Do they gel and are they good? or are the Texans way out of the mix by the time they do? I'm fine with them at 13. Number 12, they have the LA Rams. This is a team I'd actually move up. I think the Rams are going to be good this year. They lose Cooper Kupp, but Cooper Kupp was declining. We all know the talent they have because they added Davante Adams. And I think Devontae's got a revenge tour year in him this year. And by the way, I think Matt Stafford's in his last year. It's his year to prove something on the way out the door. I'd have them higher. I'd have them higher than Tampa Bay at number 11. They lose Tristan Wirfs for a few games. He's got an injury. He'll get back. I do like, and by the way, Baker has been very complimentary. I'll compliment a Buckeye wide receiver to balance this out here. So from what I understand, Emeka Egbuka looks like a stud in Tampa right now.
Wide receiver, are you the Ohio State?
We add him to Evans and Godwin. They may end up with one of the top four or five wide receiver rooms in the NFL.
And a pretty good quarterback to throw it to them.
And they brought Hassan Reddick down, too. Like, Tampa might be better this year than they've been the last couple of years. Question is, when losing Liam Cohen, would they lose from the offense in terms of play calling?
They're better than Atlanta. I don't care what.
No, I agree with that. Yeah. For the record, on paper, they're better than everybody else in the NFC South. The question is there two, three, four games of separation? Is there one game of separation? Or does the offense regress? They got the Chargers at number 10. I'm honestly okay with this.
Yeah, me too. Obviously, Harbaugh is a very good NFL coach, and he's already turned them around.
Yeah, he's got like a 52-22 head coaching record as NFL coach.
He's pretty good.
I love Amari in Hampton. Justin Herbert, you can criticize his playoff play all day long. He's been great in the regular season. I like this team a lot. Number 9, they've got the Detroit Lions. To be honest, I'm good with this too. You lost both coordinators, and as we know, this team constantly gets itself hurt down the stretch. Now, I think Detroit could be in competition for winning the NFC, but I've also pointed out they might be in the toughest division in football.
Maybe
this year.
Why they didn't play anybody last night. It's just like, yeah, we're going to keep everybody safe. All you guys go out and play.
Number 8, the Cincinnati Bengals. They may have the best wide receiver room in football. Problem is, they have, in my opinion, the worst defense in football. I love Joey B. Big fossil guy, by the way. Love Joey B. I'd have Cincinnati hanging out around 16. That's how bad the defense is. Number 7, the Washington Commanders. Terry McLaurin requested a trade yesterday. Let me be honest with you. He's not going anywhere. He requested a trade. He's got all the leverage. Want to know? Want to see me prove it? They brought in Debo, who's not a primary wide receiver. He's a weapon. Name the next pass catcher on that Commanders team right now. Just anybody else. They have nobody.
Yeah, I cannot.
They will be picking up guys cut from other squads to fill out the wide receiver room. They have to have them. It's a leverage move by McLaurin. He's getting paid. I guarantee that. Number 6, Pittsburgh. You know why they're here. Mike Tomlin, Aaron Rodgers. I think they're a little high at 6.
DK Metcalf.
Do you think they're high? You have to think they're high at 6, right? Behind Detroit? I mean, ahead of Detroit? Come on now.
I don't know.
Like, they're...
They have a winning record every year.
Cool. Number 5, the Green Bay Packers. I'm good with that. Number 4, the Buffalo Bills. I'm good with that. Number 3, the Kansas City Chiefs. I'm honestly good with that.
Yeah.
Number 2, the Baltimore Ravens. Number 1, the Philadelphia Eagles. I've sprinted through the last 5 because I don't have a problem with any of them.
I'm okay with the disrespect because that's exactly what it is, and we'll see what happens. All right, the first thing that's Xing as we finish up this week is Triple H.
Okay, the reason Triple H is trending is because Triple H yesterday stood next to President Donald Trump during a press conference where he was talking about, he talked a lot about college sports, but he was issuing an executive order to bring back the old presidential fitness test that we all had to do thanks to Ronald Reagan. He's bringing, or he signed an executive order. Again, executive orders don't become law. This is something Congress will have to approve and all that.
No time for all that. But you're right.
Well, it's the reason it's trending. Triple H was there standing next to him. And I'm just going to say this. I think Triple H thought he was there for something else because he was just kind of like,
okay. Yeah, he's always like that. This just goes out to all the wrestling haters. All right. The next thing that's texting is Happy Spider-Man Day.
Okay. Is there a national Spider-Man
Apparently
Day?
Today is Spider-Man Day. I was not aware. I felt bad that I didn't know, but now I do know. So now we got to celebrate.
And we will. Which, you know what, because we talked about it earlier, I'm going to go home and watch Spider-Man 3. It's a cult movie with the black suit and the dumb dancing, I love it.
If you take the slap out of it, man, that's everything else I'm good, but the slap was...
I agree. Let me tell you, I got one more take. Can we be honest? The older I get, the more I realized that the true wife material for Spider-Man was not MJ. It was the landlord's daughter who brought him cookies. That's the girl you want to marry, yeah. Peter Parker.
Yeah, she was very skinny, but not ugly. And she was
cute.
Yeah, she was, I think she was a Russian model, if I recall. But she took care of him. And that's what you want. That's what every guy needs.
MJ was selfish and interior-based. This young lady was baking him fresh cookies every day. That's wife material, Peter. You screwed up.
MJ was a different guy. Every movie.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, come on.
Yeah, fickle. Easy pick. The older I get, the more I'm like, no, Landlord's Daughter was the right pick there. That's the love story.
And the last thing that's X-ing is SummerSlam.
SummerSlam this weekend. We'll talk about it probably a little bit on Monday, and then definitely next Thursday at 9:20 when we do Fight Club, which I have never forgotten back about in the history of this show. Thanks for being here. Have a great weekend. Don't drink and drive. I'll punch you in the face. If you didn't enjoy the show, it's your own fault. Come back Monday because we will do it all over again. But better. He's Lonzo. I'm Rob. Have a great weekend. I'll be on BetMGM tonight, by the way. 7 to 11. See you there. The Rob Brown Show is on your radio. It's the Fan Upstate. Later!
Hey friends, I'm Sharon McMahon, host of Here's Where It Gets Interesting, where you'll learn about American history, current events, and so much more. Follow and listen to me on Here's Where It Gets Interesting on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.